Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON, Chapter 4, Text 34. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninastatva darshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. I'll just read it in a loud voice.
The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. God, therefore, advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciples. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretender. Even Bhagavatam says,
Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in the spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this work, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind towards the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries become perfect. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!
Just conducted the initiation ceremony for Bhakti Siddhanta Das, Radha Devi Dasi, and Gauranga Prasad Das. It's always a very joyful and auspicious occasion when new people are accepted into the Gaurya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Of course, in many ways, this initiation ceremony is a formality, inasmuch as those who are initiated, they don't get initiated unless they're following anyway. So when they're promising to follow all these things and chant, it's understood that they're already doing these things. They've already made their commitment to do that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be sitting there giving their commitment. But it formalizes that which has already taken place. And the promise is given, and the blessings are given, name is given, and formally one is accepted into the family of Krishna. Everyone's in the family of Krishna. There are the internal members and the rebels who are outside. So, recruiting from the ranks of the rebels, the Back to Godhead movement, back home, back to Godhead, by the process of Krishna consciousness, sadhana bhakti, bhajana kriya, that is mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Adho Shraddha, Tata Santo Sangha, Ata bhajana kriya. In bhajana kriya, that's given, some detail is described of this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada has translated as Nectar of Devotion, in which the first step is ādo gurvāśraya. First one should take shelter of a spiritual master, and then Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. Then one should take initiation. One should take instruction. Vishrambhinas Guru Seva. One should very respectfully serve the Guru. And Sadhu Vat Manu Vartanam. And one should follow in the footsteps of the great devotee. So this is the process to come to Krishna. Usually we speak on this in some detail before the initiation takes place, but circumstantially there wasn't much time, so we can speak a little bit on this. Now, the meaning of initiation, the importance. Generally in Hindu society, the understanding is that one has to accept a guru. Traditionally, every Hindu, for want of a better word, traditionally every Hindu has a guru, and that has become formalized by family lines of gurus, which are not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily a bad thing to have a family line of gurus if the proper tradition is kept up. If the father is properly following and the son also properly follows, that taking up the duty to act karmana manasa vacha in the service of Krishna with body, mind and words, it's not necessarily a bad thing if the father is a guru, the son is a guru, and they have their own group of families who they initiate. It's not in and of itself bad, but the misunderstanding that can often arise from it, that only someone born in such a family is qualified to initiate, or that one must take initiation from a person who's born in such a family, that misunderstanding is condemned. Otherwise, as Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports here in Bhagavad Gita, there are many families of acharyas. He mentions that. We generally criticize those who say that, well, you have to accept the family guru. But it's not in and of itself bad, but the misunderstanding that arises that one is qualified as a guru because it's the family line, that is condemned. Just like in Hindu society previously, it's almost broken down now, but a fisherman's son will become a fisherman. Please go wash your hand. Put your hand in your mouth. Yeah. Please do that. This is, I'm not saying to you, this is parampara. I personally saw Prabhupada stop a whole initiation ceremony because a child had his hand in his mouth. So go wash your hand and come back. As Prabhupada told the mother, take this boy out, take this baby out, he's contaminating the whole sacrifice. Take him out, wash his hand, teach him not to put his hand in his mouth. So, these things we're supposed to learn in childhood. The parampara is broken. There are different paramparas. One is family. In the family we learn so many things. The first guru is the mother. Teaches them. So there are so many things to be learned. Actually, when you come to a guru, the guru shouldn't teach you, don't put your hand in your mouth. That you should have learned from your mother. But nowadays, everything has to be taught. Mother is also putting their hand in the mouth. So it's a dushparampara, kuparampara. Yeah, this is the problem. The whole society is so contaminated. The whole culture is supportive. The original culture, we want the whole culture that's supportive. That's why Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, Padushyanti kulastriyaha, strishu dushtashu varshtaya jayate varna sankara. That if women are not, if women become contaminated, if they become fallen, then simply the children are a bunch of rogues, and what can you expect? And the whole society becomes spoiled. So that's another kind of parampara within the family tradition. Kula dharma sanatana, Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, the continuing tradition of kula dharma. So that's also one kind of guru. The father and mother are supposed to be guru to the children. So that's a very great responsibility. As Prabhupada said, that my father taught me all the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. The special thing I learned from my Guru Maharaj was If you ever get money, print books. That was the special thing I learned from him. Otherwise, the basics of Krishna consciousness, he said, I learned from my father. So, anyway, I was saying that the fisherman, his son becomes a fisherman, his father trains him up what to do. The Purohit, his son becomes a Purohit. The Baba, his son becomes a Baba. And the Guru, the Acharya, his son also becomes an Acharya because the father trained the son. You have families with the name Acharya, Goswami. You also get families with the name Brahmacharya. At least in Bengal, there's some Brahmacharya. So it can be Grihastha Brahmacharya also. Adhikari, that's another name. Another family name. That particularly means one who has the Adhikar to worship the Lord. Das is another such name. In Bengal, Das means Shudra, but in Orissa, Das generally, the word name Das means Bhagavan ka Das. It means the Sevite in the temple who's worshipping the Lord. So these family, the idea that the father is a guru, the son can become a guru, that's the, if the proper training is there, that one should do it selflessly. The whole caste system became spoiled in India because the brahmanas who are supposed to be selfless became selfish. And then everything became spoiled. And the brahman is given some position of respect and people are supposed to support him, but then if he simply becomes lazy, just like we see often in Bengal, in South India, the typical brahman means he should have a large belly. That's one of the symptoms. Guru Lakshanam. What are the Lakshanams? So, Madhvacharya was also famous for his eating exploits. After all, he's an incarnation of Bhima. So, but that's not in and of itself. The qualification. So this idea that one has to accept a guru, that's there in Hindu society. But with the course of Kali Yuga, it's become like pretty much everything else in Hindu society, weak, watered down, washed out. So the proper tradition of teaching, both in the fact, there's family tradition, there's also the proper parampara is by hearing, Shrota parampara. Vigyanatam saguru mevabhiga chit samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishta. The qualification of a guru is that he has heard in parampara and that he's fixed in that knowledge. What has he heard? There's so many shrota vyadini rajendra inang santi sahasrasha. There are many, many things to hear about in human society. So when we say shrotriyam, what has he heard? He hasn't heard so many useless things, but he's heard Brahmagyan, knowledge of the absolute truth. And not only he's heard, but Brahmanishtam, fixed in them. So that is the basic qualification of a guru. He may be trained by his father, or he may be trained by his spiritual master. It doesn't have to be by any family connection. Maybe or it may not be. But the important thing is that he is heard. And practically in the modern age, we see very few cases. At the present time, we see very few cases where it's simply coming down by family line. Mostly the traditional families that become weak in their practice of Krishna consciousness. They're mostly taking it as some kind of formality, that the disciples, they take it as a formality that we get initiated, and the gurus take it as a formality that we give initiation. Or even if they're still Vaishnava family lines, they're giving initiation, but they themselves are, I've seen in Bengal some of the family lines, they're actually, the devotees themselves who are giving initiation, the Acharya families, they're actually nice devotees, and they themselves, they study Shastra, they do Kirtan and this and that, but they give initiation indiscriminately. They're not fixed in the proper understanding that actually we should, they themselves, they're not fish eaters, but they have many disciples who may be. I'm particularly talking about in Bengal. My most experience is in Bengal with all those things. Or even if they're following nicely themselves, but they have no no motive or no inspiration or no strength to pick up their disciples. They're giving initiation simply as a formality. But the idea that the guru should actually lift up his disciple has been covered over by the misunderstanding that guru kripa hi kevalam, the misunderstanding of this statement, that the guru's mercy is all in all. The guru's mercy is all in all, yes, but what is the nature of his mercy? That you have to take that mercy and apply it in your life. If you simply think the guru touches you on the head and then that's all, you don't have to do anything else, there's a great misunderstanding. One has to take the knowledge and apply it in one's life. We see that in Damodar Lila, always the rope was 2 inches too short. So Jiva Goswami commented that these 2 inches, that stands for the two principles of spiritual life by which we can reach Krishna. Not by any material means we can reach Krishna. But the two things are the mercy of Krishna and our own endeavor. So both things are required. Both things are needed. So it is impossible in the, here that is stated, it's not Bhagavad Gita purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that it is not possible to be self-realized without being personally trained by a spiritual master. So that is required. But the training is, that's the point, the training should be there. It's not just this Mayavad idea that the guru touches you and you get an electric shock and then all of a sudden you're self-realized. It's laughable, isn't it? But it's at the same time, it's something to cry over, that so many people have this pathetic idea that simply we get a blessing and that's all. I get a blessing and then guru takes all the sinful reactions and I get the blessing and I go on with my life. But training is required. So this training that's going on by the spiritual masters, by speaking, by personal activity also. Achinoti shastratam achare stapyatyapi. The business of the acharya is to act according to the principles of Shastra himself and to establish that by his preaching and teach through his acharan, to teach by his behavior. So both by words, by example and by precept. As the English saying is there, that precept means instruction. So the English saying is there that example is better than precept. That simply speaking, you should do this, you should do that. It's better that you do yourself, then others may take it seriously. Not that precept should not be there. But it will not be effective unless the acharya or the teacher himself follows. As Srila, again in this Gita, in the purports, Prabhupada points out, he gives the example that someone who is smoking cigarettes himself, he cannot, it's meaningless for him to instruct others not to smoke it, then it's not going to have the effect. It may do if someone says, look, I'm getting lung cancer, you don't smoke. That way it may do myself. I learned from my father not to smoke because I saw he was constantly coughing all his life. So I thought, well, you know, what's the fun? Why should I do that? Better I don't smoke. So that's one way of learning. But that's all right for learning what not to do. How to become uplifted. That's the point. Guru is supposed to be on a higher platform of consciousness or a higher platform of understanding to lift up, to help lift up, to bring up. Now, here we see Krishna is speaking, Gyaninas Tattvadarshinaha. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. The plural is given. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavams Cha. We offer our obeisances particularly to our Guru and then to all the Gurus, means all the Vaishnavas. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also. What are the first words of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Does anyone know? I think you haven't read so much yet. Does anyone know the first two words? Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktans. Offering obeisances to all the Gurus and to all the devotees of the Lord. Do you have any tissues, please? Rande Gurun Isha Bhaktams. Isham to the Supreme Lord and Ishavatara. Come to the avatars of the Lord. Tat prakashams to chat chakti, Krishna Chaitanya Sangritam, to his expansions and to his shaktis, to his potencies. So Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is understood not simply alone, but first of all through his devotees, who are all gurus, and through his different avatars, his different expansions, his different potencies. All these Sanskrit, the Srimad, the Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with Mangalacharan in Sanskrit. Mangalacharan means the auspicious invocation at the beginning of a book. So the obeisances are offered to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his expansions and devotees. And then afterwards, after it's given in Sanskrit, it's explained in simple Bengali. So explaining this, is beginning to explain this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, writes that Mantra Guru Ar Joto Shikha Guru Gan Patame Bandalo Mui Shabya Charan. He says that to my Mantra Guru, initiating Guru, and to all my Shiksha Gurus, I offer my obeisances at their lotus feet. So the point given here is that we have Mantra Guru, Vande Guru Sri Chaitanya. We offer obeisances especially to our initiating Guru, but also to all the Gurus. We have many Gurus. Guru is one, you've heard that saying. Guru is one. At one time, one of the more bizarre speculations which emerged within our society, we also have some wonderfully imaginative people join our movement. So there was a photo of one of the gurus of our movement when he was 1 year old as a baby. So they were distributing these photos with the caption, Guru is one. But that's not the meaning. The meaning is that it's pretty good, huh? It's not only in India, that was an American guru. It's not only in India where you have fantastic interpretations of Shastra. The Americans have also caught up with you. And there's still some way to go. So Guru is one means that Guru means that they teach about the Advaya Gyan. Where is that mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam? Famous verse. Vadanti tat. So Advaya, what does this word mean? Non-dual. Dvay means two. So Advaya means non-dual. Advait. This is the real meaning of Advait. We are Advaitavadis. Do you want to accept that from the Madhva Sampradaya? No? We are actual Advaitavadis. Because we know what is the non-dual absolute truth. Advaitam achyutam anadim ananta rupa. So, oneness, that is correct. Because there is only Krishna. Nayata tamidang sarvam jagad avyakta murti namat sthani sarvabhutan nachahang teshvavastita. And there is only one, it is Krishna. That everything is one, but the one absolute truth is also qualified by Ananta Kalyana Guna Vishishta. He's qualified by unlimited, transcendental, all auspicious qualities. So the one absolute truth is known as Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Guru is one means he teaches about the one absolute truth, who is Krishna. So every guru who's actually a guru teaches this. That's why the Shastra states that Shatkarma Nipano Vipra Mantra Tantra Visharadaha Avaishnava Guru Nasyat Vaishnava Swapacha Guruhu. That even if one is superficially expert in the Vedic knowledge and is from a very high class Brahmin family, He's simply licking the outside of the honey bottle, that famous example, without getting the taste of the honey inside, if he doesn't recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's therefore not qualified to be a guru. He should not be a guru. However, even if one is born in a sinful family, very sinful family, if he knows the science of Krishna, he must be a guru, because that is the qualification of a guru, as is stated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this regard, very famous verse. What is that? Who knows the science of Krishna, he should be a guru. Kiba bipra, kiba nyasi, shudra kine noy. De Krishna tatta deita she guru hoy. That whatever one's external social status may be, one who knows the science of Krishna, he should be a guru. So in this sense, every Vaishnava who's actually a Vaishnava is a guru. It's not sometimes, when I've been to some country, someone will ask me, are you a guru? And actually, every Vaishnava is a guru. Every Vaishnava especially sees every other Vaishnava as a guru. Because every Vaishnava is supposed to know Krishna Tattva and speak it. Even if he doesn't speak, generally devotees speak, that is the natural function of a devotee to speak about Krishna. But even if he doesn't preach to others, by his activities, he teaches. Simply by worshipping Krishna, that's also one kind of teaching, by his example. So every Vaishnava is a guru. Guru is one, because they all teach the same thing, that Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So every Vaishnava is a guru, and therefore, as well as stressing that submission to guru, we also stress sadhu sangha, association of devotees. Because by associating with devotees, we learn from all the other devotees. The other devotees help us and encourage us. And even within the society of devotees, then some are more senior than others, and just like, even though they may be God brothers, God sisters, they act as just like an elder brother or elder sister. Even they may be physically by age not so old, but the statement is there in Shastra that in Shastra it's recommended vriddha seva, that we should serve elderly persons. But in spiritual understanding, who is elder and who is younger? Na jayate mriyate va kada chinnayang bhudva bhavita va na bhuyaha. We all exist. We're all eternal. We're not young. We're not old. We never came into existence. We never will come into existence. No one ever dies. So who's young and who's old? So in spiritual understanding, the injunction is vriddhatvam vaya sambina. That even without being physically old, one may be old by knowledge, by proper understanding. And especially it's those who are more senior to us in Krishna consciousness, who are more experienced, who are help when we come to Krishna consciousness, they're helping us. They act as gurus. Now it may be that someone helps someone to come to Krishna consciousness, then afterwards the person they help becomes more himself by some, maybe more serious or more able to concentrate due to circumstances. He may be able to dedicate more than the person who introduced or the persons who introduced him. And he may apparently go ahead in Krishna consciousness, so that it may be that someone who you held to guide may also guide you later. And maybe there also. So it's mutual, that everyone is helping everyone else. So a Vaishnava sees all other Vaishnavas as gurus, although particularly for the those who are initiating, it's not just that, you know, just, well, you know, he's my guru, they're all my gurus, so what, you know. It's not like that. Definitely special respect, special guidance, particularly one should. There are many important, all the important decisions in one's life should come under the guidance of one's mantra guru. But he may also delegate that they're somewhat senior disciples, they will help to look after others, just like Prabhupada was doing. Many times devotees would ask Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, well, you can ask the town president, or you can ask the GPC. They can reply to this. If they can't reply, I'll reply. But actually, they should... Prabhupada would... of course, whoever was around him, he would preach to, but he would keep around him certain devotees who he would train up, he would personally train, and then he would send them out, and they were supposed to train others. So that's very practical. I mean, if we're talking about traditional Vedic culture, then we see, for instance, even great acharyas, some great acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhva, they traveled very widely. Even Shankaracharya traveled very widely and made many disciples. In many cases, they would initiate, they'd come to a place, preach, initiate someone, and then move on, and maybe they wouldn't be seen again in that place. But they'd teach, but by writing books, and by Ramanuja especially, trained up a whole big army of sannyas who would travel and teach to others. And the training, local brahmanas who are trained up by family tradition, so they would train others who are coming. And that system is still going on, at least superficially, in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, that it's supposed to be, you're supposed to learn something in the family. That's not happening very much. But then, in many cases, the acharya will come and give initiation and spend some time, give some lectures. But day-to-day instruction is going on by family members, and then in the village or the agraharam, the abode of all the brahmanas, there may be more senior brahmanas. Although senior means in age and in learning and devotion, and they will, that means within the family you'll get guidance, and then on a broader scale within the community there'll be the elders, and there may be one particular within the local community who's looked up to. So there are many gurus. There are many gurus. They're all helping us to go back to Godhead. And guru is one, means they should all be in agreement with each other, because the purpose is the same, to serve Krishna. And the philosophy is the same. Now, of course, Krishna is many faceted and life is complex. So there may, and every person is an individual. So there may be differences of opinion also. So differences of opinion, that is there, but within the Vaishnava community, there's the basic understanding is that we're all here to serve Krishna. So differences of opinion may arise as the best way to serve Krishna. And some discussion may be there on the basis of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, on the basis of what we've learned from the great acharyas, from our initiating Guru, and the center is Shastra, what is stated in Shastra. So some disagreements may be there, then that should be settled by some discussion. There may be even debate on the basis of Shastra. So these things are going on. We'll find even among the acharyas there may be some differences of opinion on different points, on some subtle points of how to worship the Lord, or even the understanding of the ontological position of the Lord. Even the acharyas, I mean, these are very important philosophical points. Just like some acharyas, they say that Vishnu is the origin of Krishna, and others say Krishna is the origin of Vishnu. That's a big point, actually, if you consider. But different acharyas may have a different opinion on that. Of course, we understand that is because the Lord is Ananta Rupam. He has many different forms, and different devotees relate to him in different ways, and their vision of him, according to their bhav, according to their transcendental emotion in service of the Lord, those who are worshipping the Lord in awe and reverence, they will tend to see that Vishnu is the origin of Krishna, which is stated in Shastra. And Shastra also states that Krishna is the origin of Vishnu. So how to understand all these things? That means that the acharyas, they will explain Shastra, that actually Krishna is the origin of Vishnu, but for those who are... And Krishna is non-different from Vishnu, anyway. But for those who are worshipping the Lord in the mood of awe and reverence, then they will see that Vishnu is the origin. So differences of opinion may be there, and even they may be very strongly contested. But the oneness has to be seen. The oneness of the desire to serve Krishna. Now, it also may happen that within the Vaishnava Sampradaya, because we are within the material world, that who is worshipping Krishna, their consciousness may become influenced by material considerations. That is discussed in Shastra. There are various kinds of devotees. Karma Mishra, those whose inclination to worship Krishna is influenced by desires for fruitive activities. Jnana Mishra, those whose inclination to worship Krishna is influenced by the impersonal concept of trying to understand the Absolute Truth simply through the path of knowledge. Or even for those who are on the path of Uttam Bhakti. Uttam Bhakti means beyond the contaminations of karma and jnana. Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana kama dhanavitam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. Uttam Bhakti, topmost bhakti, is cultivated by being free from the desires for progress on the path of karma and jnana. Now it may be that even someone who is on that path, they may be influenced by materialistic concepts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is warned against this, that Nishidache Kutinati Jive Hingshan Lab Puja Pratishta Jata Upashakagan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is warned that in the cultivation of devotional service, there may be some unfavorable attitudes may creep into the heart of the practitioner. He may not follow the principles properly. He may think, well, I don't have to follow all these things. Because in Shastra it stated that one who is highly advanced, he doesn't have to follow all the rules and regulations, so he thinks, oh, that means me. I'm highly advanced. I don't have to follow all these things. Or kutinati, that one may, in the name of practicing devotional service, one may have his own agenda. For lab put that I will profit financially, I will enjoy others worshipping me, my name and fame will be glorified. So, in the name of devotional service, one may not even recognize it himself, that superficially he's acting for the benefit of others, but actually he has some personal motive to fulfill. So, we have to be very careful. While practicing devotional service, we accept as our guides devotees, but we're also enjoined to be careful in choosing our associates. We associate with everybody and anybody who chants Hare Krishna, unless they're grossly deviated. But we should also see that if someone is preaching something which is, they may be preaching 95% correct philosophy, but there may be some misconception or something which is not conducive to the development of Krishna consciousness. But basically, this is this Krishna consciousness. It's a group effort, sankirtan. That sankirtan means, what is that? Bahuni miladva gayantiti sankirtanam. When many people come together and chant the names of Krishna, that is called sankirtan. Kirtan means to glorify the Supreme Lord, and sankirtan means together. And Krishna is more pleased, he's very happy when he sees many devotees coming together to glorify the Lord. And we are also devotees, that they like to associate with devotees and to chant the holy names together. That's very pleasing. What could be more pleasing than to chant the holy names, to work together to serve Krishna together. So that is a group effort. We shall be very careful. That's particularly the... Of course, we say everyone's a guru, but then some are specifically known as acharyas. That every devotee in some way is a guru. And then there are those who are particularly acharyas, who are particularly guiding the Vaishnava community. Sripad Ramanuja Acharya has stated that one of the responsibilities of the acharyas is to keep the contaminations from entering the Vaishnava community, because it's very easy for Maya to enter. Maya is always ready to enter. Maya is always trying to spoil the path back to Godhead by introducing contaminations. So many different contaminations may enter: wrong philosophical understanding, or someone taking advantage of the honor and respect that is offered to him for the sake of his own personal aggrandizement. So many different contaminations may enter. Therefore, the acharyas, they are supposed to keep out the contaminations. That means that we hear that guru means heavy. That means heavy with knowledge. Sadhu also means, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, sadhu means one who cuts. It's not simply one who smiles, but one who cuts out the contamination, which is always ready to enter. Because many people are attracted to chanting Hare Krishna, but we have a self-cheating tendency, that we like to think, yes, this is nice chanting Hare Krishna, but, you know, I have to adjust it according to my circumstance. I'll adjust Krishna consciousness according to my own contamination. This is our self-cheating tendency. So the acharya's duty is to say, no, you have to adjust yourself according to Krishna, not that you expect Krishna will adjust himself according to me. I have to follow what Krishna says. The acharya is supposed to represent what Krishna says. So his duty is to point out the defect. It's that Prabhupada stressed that the first job is not. The duty of the acharya is not to pet the disciple, pat him on the head, and you see, you pat their dog on the head, good boy. But his first duty is to chastise. So that also, if one is simply attracted to chastise others for his own self-aggrandizement, then it becomes a contamination. But rather one should see what mistake is there for the sake of training others so that they can serve Krishna properly. Acharya means he trains a disciple so they can serve Krishna properly. The idea is that in this world, we get trained, and then tyaktva dehaṃ punarjanma naiti mameti sojana, we go to Krishna to serve Krishna. But if we don't have any idea how to serve Krishna, then how are you going to serve Krishna? Krishna is to be served in a particular way. So the acharya trains how to serve Krishna. And there's so many facets of that. Of course, further training is there that one that's stated that one can take birth in one of the material universes where Krishna is having his pastimes within the entourage of Krishna, and then getting the final training, then he goes to the spiritual world. But there are so many points to be trained. The acharya trains how to serve Krishna in a way that Krishna will be pleased. One has to be conscious, Krishna conscious, conscientious. Conscious means one should be conscientious, one should be conscious. There are so many rules and regulations are given in Shastra. One should not shout before the deity. One should not tell lies before the deity. This means all to be conscientious that Krishna is here. We have to treat him in such a way that he will be satisfied. What does Krishna want? So we have to offer Krishna food as he likes. We have to perform kirtan in a way that Krishna likes. That I don't know, someone may be upset. I think more than once here, in my short stay here, I've told people to stop playing the kartals, because they're playing out of time. They don't realize it themselves because they have no musical ear to hear it. But they're out of time. And those who do have a musical ear, as Krishna has also, he's not tone deaf or time deaf. So if you play out of time, that it breaks the tal. And that's described in Garga Sanghita. The rags and raginis personified, they all became broken. They become broken. They become physically deformed. They're supposed to serve Krishna, but they become broken and sad by those who sing out of time, out of tune. So Krishna is served by the Sugita Nartana, Sabha Shakhi Gani, Shuchiche Jugaladana. The gopis, they're singing very sweetly and nicely and dancing very nicely for Krishna. So there's a science out of it. Of course, we're not, we don't expect everyone to be a great ustad or any such thing. But there are some basic things, like playing the kartals in time. So after all, this is the Sankirtan movement, so at least we should learn how to play kartals in some very basic things. Or this morning I stopped the kirtan because those who are singing, they're supposed to follow the same tune. But somehow they don't hear, I don't know how or why, but they don't hear what's sung and they sing a different tune. So I just stopped to say that you should sing what I'm singing, not something else. So they may think, oh, that's not very nice. Why is he taking the kartals away? But it may be a little unpleasant. The training may be a little unpleasant. But the result of training is that we come to a better platform of service. Just like that example, if you see a Bharatanatyam dancer, actually you're not supposed to see. This dancing is supposed to be for Krishna. All that training is supposed to go on for years, and then for Krishna, the deity will see. This idea of doing dancing on a stage and everyone will watch and they will enjoy, this is all nonsense. Actually, it's meant for the pleasure of the deity. But anyway, we've all seen how the dancer dances and flowing movements and mudras. Flowing means it looks very natural, but to come to that stage of doing that, how much training was required? How much difficulty? That under the guru, dancing guru, just like to play madanga. Of course, the way we play, we pick up and we start banging it. We're not really playing proper. The proper way is, I mean myself also, I'm not including myself, I never learned to play properly. But the proper system is that you'll do about 2,000 times. Even that I did wrongly. So when you do that, then you can go, ta-tay. Then you do that maybe 20,000 times. Tate, tate, tate. When you got that right, then you can go to ghee tate. And then you do that for about 4 or 5 days. And like this. And very slowly. You want to go fast? No, very, very slow. A very painstaking. You have to get it right. Correct. Properly. And then you can, and then you see Madanga is playing very naturally, nicely, or the dancer is dancing very nicely. But they're only able to do that because they went through painstaking training. They're able to take the discipline, and they think I'm doing very nicely, and the guru Madanga says, stop that, we're doing all wrong, nonsense, okay, go back, do this again. And there's no argument. You can't say no, you have to accept, you have to bow down to the Madanga teacher. He'll teach day after day like this. Of course, Krishna consciousness is very joyful, and it may not be so painstaking as that, but the point is that to come to the point of serving Krishna naturally or spontaneously, we have to be trained into how to do the basic things first. There's some idea that, you know, we just have some bhav, some from my heart I'm feeling for Krishna, therefore I don't need any training. But this is all nonsense. And I mean, it may be very unusual cases, but in most cases, the training is there. First of all, you have to learn how to play the kartals in time. You have to learn how to sit, as Prabhupada would say, sit properly. You have to learn how to chant Hare Krishna. And it's not a very difficult thing, but many people don't chant Hare Krishna. They're supposed to be, but they chant something vaguely or even closely resembling Hare Krishna, but some other kind of sound. And we have to be trained not only to chant Hare Krishna, more important than chanting 16 rounds is to hear 16 rounds. Otherwise you can just, you know, put on a tape, something like that. I chanted my 16 rounds, I listen. But no, you have to hear. So that requires some training. There's so many things. actually in front of the deities, we shouldn't be leaning, shouldn't be very casual. We should either be sitting properly or standing, isn't it? If we're considering deities, there's so many points to become. All this is meant to become conscious that now we have to serve Krishna. We have to do it in a proper way, not a slobbish way. Most of our lifetimes we've been in animal forms. So when we come to the human form of life, we're also animalistic. But Krishna consciousness means the training by which we first of all come to the human platform. That means shamo, dhamma, tapa, shocham, self-control, austerity, cleanliness in the modern age. Because the parampara is broken. These things are learned at home. It's like I'm saying, don't put your hand in your mouth. The guru shouldn't have to teach that. The first guru, mother, should teach. But now, they don't know because their mother didn't teach, maybe. They somewhere along the line, the parampara got lost. So then you put the hand in your mouth and then you pick up the Bhagavad Gita and it becomes an offense. And then you put your hand everywhere, you open the door and then everything becomes contaminated. People have no idea of this in the modern age and they think, oh, that's just fanaticism. But no, because we have to serve Krishna properly. Then you're going to worship the deities with your hand, and you put your hand in your mouth and then you pick up the incense. You know. No, you can't do that. That becomes an offense. So there are so many things to understand to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So this training is required. And it requires submissiveness. Here, tadviti pranipatena, bowing down. That means one has to be prepared to accept the discipline. One has to be prepared to accept, to be told that you're not doing properly. Generally, no one likes to be told that. Especially when you become older, everyone thinks, well, you know, now I'm grown up and who's to tell me what? Anything. Generally, that's the point. The training begins early. Generally, brahmachari gurukule. The brahmachari should go to the gurukul, and that should be at the age of 5, when children generally can be trained nicely. Of course, very difficult. That's another whole question. In the modern society, it's very difficult to train to children to even live as human beings, because the whole general culture which we live in is subhuman. So that's another whole question of training. But the general point is that it's easier to train generally when younger, but even coming to Krishna consciousness later in life, if one understands that now I need guidance, I'm suffering in this material world, I don't know what the purpose of my life is, or why am I suffering? I need to know what is the truth. I need to be trained in that. That is the mood in which one should accept a guru, not simply as a formality, but with the udesha, with the motivation, with the purpose to take some training and guidance. That I don't know what is actually for my benefit. Yaha nahi jani kevane hitto hoy. When Sanatana Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that, Ke ame kene amai jare tapatra. Who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries of life? Yaha nahi jani kevane hitto hoy. He said, I don't know what is beneficial for me. So understanding that all my endeavors have been useless. My endeavors to be happy, whatever I've done, it's all a waste of time. When we understand that material existence is completely useless, that is the time to approach a guru. Prabhupada said that spiritual life begins when we are disgusted with material life. So when we've understood that this material life, it stinks, there's nothing of any benefit here, then we should approach a guru to train us that I don't know. I know that this material life is horrible, but what is actually for my benefit, I don't know. Therefore, we should become, as a child, be prepared to be trained. And that means, namaha, we have to offer obeisances. Namaha means na, negation. Na means negation. And ma, that means the ahanka, that stands for that. So giving up one's false ego, it requires that one has to be actually prepared to be very humble, because it may be that in front of one's friends, one's peers, one's children. One may be told, don't do this, don't do that. You should do like this, you should do like that. So it requires that humility. But the result of that training, is that we get trained in how to serve Krishna. That is the greatest benefit. So, there's nothing good comes without a little trouble. Of course, Krishna consciousness is basically very blissful, but as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states, that everyone has to be tested in the fire of ordeal. Krishna tests his devotees. We can expect everyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, we can expect that Krishna is going to test us in various ways. We may think that I'm suffering so much in material life, so let me take to Krishna consciousness and then everything will be nice and easy. But not necessarily. Ultimately, we come to the platform of eternal bliss, and even when we take to Krishna consciousness, the bliss is there in chanting and dancing. But there'll be many tests. The tests of Maya is there to see if we're actually serious to serve Krishna. And that purifies, that if we're so many difficulties we may go through, if we remain submissive to Guru and Krishna, then mat prasadat tarishyasi chetasa sarva durgani, we can cross over all the difficulties by Krishna's grace if we remain conscious of Krishna. That Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna started in Bhagavad Gita by saying, look, I have such a horrible situation ahead of me, I want to avoid it. Krishna told him, no, don't avoid it. You have to face it. Don't run away from your problems. You have to face them, but you go on. Go on with what you're doing, and the problems will come. But Krishna says, I am with you, and I'll help you. And if you remain faithful to me, by my grace, you'll cross over all these difficulties. So a devotee, he shouldn't try to avoid difficulties, but he should accept them as, now is the opportunity for me to be purified. And by taking instruction from Gurus, and Krishna, he can become purified and freed from all contaminations. So, this is some discussion. There are so many. It's a great, great subject. Guru Tattva, Guru Disciple relationship. Guru is teaching, and his disciples also help him in teaching others who are coming in our Krishna conscious movement. We're very fortunate that in that sense, of course, sometimes people say that, well, I'm so unfortunate, I didn't meet Prabhupada, I didn't have Prabhupada as my guru. So that's also true in one sense, but another sense, more fortunate, because at that time there was only Prabhupada, one guru, but now there are many gurus. So Prabhupada was traveling all over the world, and most devotees would see maybe 2-3 days a year, or Prabhupada used to call to Mayapur festival so that they could be with Prabhupada and hear his lectures for 2 weeks. Generally the Mayapur Vrindavan festival at that time would take 2 weeks, so they could have Prabhupada's association in that way. Some Prabhupada's disciples actually never personally saw him at all. So in that sense, you're more fortunate, especially here, that although basically everyone comes here for material benefit, for sense gratification, but you're very fortunate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy has come here, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is coming in the form of so many, more and more, the gurus of ISKCON are coming. Of course, as I say, all the devotees are gurus, but then there are those who are officially acting as acharyas also. So it's a joint family. There are many gurus, and we can take advantage of all their different instructions, and everyone can help everyone else to come up in Krishna consciousness. I'm saying that the guru is helped by his disciples. The helped means the guru, his duty is to serve his guru by teaching what he learned to others. So he trains his disciples and they learn, and then they help others who come. Just like I've here today, I've initiated three disciples. But so they naturally they feel, and that's true, that their spiritual life is under my guidance and they're depending on me. But under my guidance means they've also been guided practically more than personally by me than by some of my disciples, or disciple in particular. So we should see this chain of gurus. Everyone is helping. It's a big mission. It's not that everyone can do everything. Even Prabhupada had so many expansive plans. Farm communities, defeat the scientists, defeat the impersonalists, kirtan in every town and village, massive prasad distribution. So it's not even develop Mayapur project. There's so many important things. Book distribution, so many things. Writing more books, education, so many things. It's overwhelming. So Prabhupada gave a master plan, but even our gurus, none of them can take up all the things that Prabhupada was. They can't specialize in all the things that Prabhupada gave. So some are specializing more in some things than others. So all there's much, much work to do. So all the devotees can take up Krishna consciousness, and they're very our basic activity is Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Maja Yaman to chant Hare Krishna in the society of devotees, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, worship Krishna, associate with devotees, serve the gurus. That's the basic business. And then preaching is the essence, especially distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada emphasized, there are so many things that Prabhupada emphasized, but they're all important. It's not that book distribution is important, deity worship is unimportant. No, everything is important. But of course, Prabhupada, he put a lot of stress on this book distribution. So this is a duty of all the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement. Books are the basis, to take Srila Prabhupada's books very seriously, to study them ourselves, to distribute them to others, to learn and then teach others on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's books. So different devotees are specializing in different areas, and in this way the cooperation goes on, by which we receive transcendental knowledge and we give it to others. Every Vaishnava is supposed to be a guru. It means we should learn and teach others. Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh amar agyai guru hoya taro idesh. That is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that every Vaishnava should be a guru. So the basic function of a guru is to teach others. So every preacher is a guru, and every devotee has that responsibility. Of course, everyone should think, Daso smi, I am a servant, not Guru smi. I am a guru. How would you say that in Sanskrit? Daso tum. You are my servant. Excuse me, Prabhu. Yes, I am Prabhu. Do what I say. Bhaktisthan Sarasar Thakur said, anyone, if a Vaishnava thinks it, if a Vaishnava becomes a guru, he ceases to be a Vaishnava. If you think I'm a guru, then how can you? Because a guru is supposed to instruct others, but then a Vaishnava is supposed to be humble. So instructing others, that's illegal. Turn it off. You're supposed to be the acharya here. You're setting a bad example. Don't mind me saying so. So if one thinks that I'm a guru, everyone should follow my instructions, and he seems to be a Vaishnava, but nevertheless he has to instruct. So in instructing, he's simply thinking that I'm serving on the order of my guru, that I'm this is my service, that Krishna has kindly sent all these different people, so it's my duty to serve them. And a Vaishnava should also see the good qualities in others, and not simply. In other words, he may chastise. Chastisement in general, it's not meant for everybody to chastise everybody else, rather to encourage. But one may point out that if this is just that, like you may, I may come and tell you, look, this is the wrong tune or something like this. Then you can point out to others. So that's what you've heard, you repeat, that's all. But everything should be done, generally everything should be done in a pleasing manner. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is well known, and his guru also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for sometimes Prabhupada would chastise disciples and they would be devastated because Prabhupada's knowledge is very, very, very heavy. Prabhupada sometimes, just like when there's one devotee, Bhargava, he's always taking photos, and Prabhupada didn't like that very much because during his lecture they would make so much noise. In those days, it was a very noisy kind of big flash, and Prabhupada didn't like that very much, but still the devotees, they wanted to have the photos.